We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodforda.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodforda.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last week we started talking about the real reason there is conflict in the Middle East and asking the question, is this a sign that we're in the end times? You probably have heard sermons and messages in the last few weeks after Israel was attacked, indicating that we are in the end times and that this is a sign that we are in the end times. In fact, I went to YouTube today and saw a video that specifically says, when you see, hear of wars and rumors of wars. And I didn't watch the video, but that is a passage, or that is a quote from Matthew chapter 24 that we started looking at last week. And certainly there are many people that apply Matthew 24 to the end times. And we're going to look, and we started looking last week at this passage, and we're going to continue to look at this passage this week. So beginning in verse 1, we see, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, do you see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And this is one of the problems with applying this passage to current times, is that there is no temple standing at that place anymore. Because in fulfillment of the words of Jesus, not one stone of that temple was left. It was all thrown down. And this is actually something that we see in the Bible. It actually happened in AD 30. So I'm going to actually switch over to and actually open up my Power Bible and actually refer to some of the passages there. So this is Matthew chapter 24, and one of the other passages that is quoted or referenced in this passage, in this verse, is Micah chapter 3 verse 12, which says in the King James, Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house as high as the high places of the forest. And so that passage also was fulfilled. When was it fulfilled? It was fulfilled in AD 70. When the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem, they surrounded it. The Jewish people thought, God is going to deliver us. He is going to deliver us just like he did in the past, in times past. They looked for God to deliver. The Christians remembered the words of Jesus, and the Roman army actually separated or withdrew for a short period of time. The Christians fled Jerusalem. Really, for the first time, you saw a separation between Jews and Christians. And what actually happened was that the Roman army came back in, and they actually leveled the place. And they leveled the temple. Not one stone was left upon another. So the people that actually believe that this passage has yet to be fulfilled believe that that temple has to be rebuilt. And of course, if the temple were to be rebuilt in fulfillment of this passage, then they would need to use the same stones that they used with the original temple. But why would they need to? The passage has already been fulfilled. Not one stone was left upon another. The words of Jesus did come to pass. The words of Micah came to pass also. Jerusalem was plowed. And as we'll look, and you can actually study, there's a Jewish historian named Josephus that chronicles what happened in AD 70. You can read his works. His works are available, and you can read them today. So in verse 3, it says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" So they're asking him potentially about three different periods of time, or three different events. So they're asking, one, when will these things be? Two, what will be the sign of your coming? And three, of the end of the age. And so when we think about these things, first of all, one of the things I want to point out is that every one of us comes into thinking about the end times with presuppositions. And those presuppositions are based on what we have heard, what we have been told, what people have taught us, what a pastor has said, maybe what we've read in a book, maybe even what we've seen in a movie. There are thousands of books that have been written on this topic, and thousands of, a whole bunch of movies that have been written on this topic. And one thing that is true of every book that has been written, except for the ones that are fairly recent, is that every one of them has been wrong. Every one of them that has predicted the return of Jesus or of the end times, they've all been wrong. And this is not a new phenomena. This has really happened throughout the ages. Christians have tried to figure out when this time would be. And yet Jesus, in this very passage, actually shows that this time is not something that we can actually figure out. And certainly there are people that think that they can. One, the key to understanding this passage, though, is verse 34, and I'll start in verse 33, but we'll back up to cover the rest of it, but we're going to just read this. So this is the key to understanding this. In verse 33, "So you, when you see these things, know that it is near at the doors." So who is he speaking to? When we see, and one of the things you'll see throughout this passage, throughout Matthew chapter 24, is you'll constantly see the word "you." When you see these things, when these things come to place, come to pass. And Jesus was actually, we read that a lot of times and we think, wow, when I see these things, then I know that it's at the door. But Jesus was actually speaking to people that asked him a question. His disciples asked him a question. And he says, when you see these things, you know that that the time is near. It is even at the door. And in verse 34, "Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things come to pass," or come to all these things take place. So that really is the key to understanding this, these passages or these prophecies. So really what we need to look at, Jesus actually clearly said that the generation that he was speaking to, the disciples that asked him the question, that their generation would not pass away until the things he was talking about in Matthew chapter 24 came to pass. And having said that, we do need to realize again that potentially he's talking about three different periods of time. And it is possible that some of these things and some of these periods haven't actually come to pass. But really, we could really say that what came before verse 34 would at least have already come to pass within that generation. And as I mentioned last week, you know, there are some people that believe, well, you know, he was talking about, and they actually say, well, it wasn't talking about the generation, it was talking about the race, the Jewish race. Well, that's kind of preposterous, because that would really could happen at any time. And then there are people that believed that, well, this is talking about one generation from the time that Jerusalem or Israel became a nation again, which happened in 1948. And so they said, that a biblical generation is 40 years. And of course, that would put it in 1988. And there was a book written, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 1988. The pastor that wrote that book went with his church to a certain mountain where it was all supposed to start. And lo and behold, that day came and that day went, and Jesus didn't actually come back. And then he came out with a book, 89 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come Back in 89. And lo and behold, in 89, it came to pass, and Jesus didn't come back in 1989 either. And then they started saying, well, a biblical generation is 50 years. So, of course, 1998 came and went, and Jesus still didn't come back. And then Lester Sumrall wrote a book, I Predict 2000, and 2000 came and went, and Jesus didn't come back. And I was really convinced that after that people would stop this last day's nonsense and would actually start reading the Bible and doing the work of God. You see, God doesn't want us to sit around pondering what the end times is going to be. God wants us to be doing the work of God. He wants us to be reading the Bible, applying it to our lives, and living our lives in such a way, and calling others to live their lives for God, and really doing the work of God, calling our cities, our states, our nations to conform to the Word of God, rather than sitting around waiting for Jesus to come back and rescue his pathetic church that can't possibly accomplish anything. You see, God actually says that Jesus is coming back, and we've mentioned this many times from the most quoted Old Testament passage that's quoted the most often in the New Testament is Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Most Christians today believe that things will get worse and worse and worse and worse, and have no hope for the future, and have no hope to actually to go out and disciple the nations in obedience to his commandments. And so just sit back and actually want to wait for Jesus to come back and to rescue them. But the Bible says that he's coming back when his enemies are his footstool, have been made his footstool. But here we see again the disciples ask him, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus said to them, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. And again, he's talking to the people that asked him, take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Certainly, we actually see in the Bible, the Bible actually talks about false prophets and talks about the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. And in verse 6, and you will hear, who will hear? You, the people that was asking him, the disciples, will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So Jesus is saying, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You know, the end's not going to be right then. And when we look at the end, when we talk about the end, you know, we can, you know, sometimes we might see, well, you know, what is the end? What are we talking about when we talk about the end? Of course, a lot of times we think, well, we're talking about the end of the world. We're talking about Armageddon. We're talking about when the world will be destroyed. That's not necessarily what is meant by the end. The word here is for end in the Strong's Concordance is word 5056. It's telos. It's from the primary telo, to set out for a definitive point or goal. So to set out for a definitive point or goal properly, the point aimed at as a limit, i.e. by implication, the conclusion of an act or state, termination, literally, figuratively, or indefinitely, result, immediate, ultimate, or prophetic, purpose, specifically, an impost or levy as paid, continual, custom, end, or ending, finally, utmost. So, this doesn't necessarily say that the world would end and that's not really what Jesus says would happen. We a lot of times interpret that this passage is talking about the end of the world. And we do know the Bible does say that there will be a time when this heaven and earth will pass away, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and that we will rule and reign with Jesus during that time. But that's not necessarily what Jesus is speaking here about here. One of the things and I mentioned this last week, when you read the New Testament, it's clear to me that the apostles thought they were in the end times. And I always thought growing up, well, they must have been mistaken. But I really believe that they were living in the end times. And what do I mean by that? Well, there was a transition that was happening from the old covenant to the new covenant. You see, from when God created the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and had the Israelites create that, and God gave Moses the plan and the pattern, and that was all a type and a shadow of what was to come, and really a type and a shadow of what was in heaven. The Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the angels above that, that was all a type and a shadow. The blood that was shed was a temporary covering. The blood of bulls and goats and lambs, all of that pointed to Jesus Christ. It was a type and a shadow. It was temporary. It wasn't to be that they were to do this forever. And Jesus Christ came and shed his own blood on the cross, and he became our Passover lamb. He was actually crucified at the time of Passover. He is our Passover lamb. The Bible says, and you can read about in the Bible, after Jesus was raised from the dead and he appeared to Mary, he said, I have not yet ascended unto my Father. So between that time and very likely the time that we see the next appearance of Jesus, Jesus actually ascended into heaven, went to the mercy seat of heaven, and poured out his own blood on that mercy seat so that our sins could be forgiven once and for all. You see, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, that blood had to be sacrificed once for all. And even the priest who was ministering and who was pouring that blood on the altar, even he had to be atoned for himself. And it was such a critical thing that there was even a rope tied around his leg so that if he had not properly prepared himself and he dropped dead, that they could actually pull him out from that Holy of Holies. You see, that blood had to be shed every single year, but that was no longer necessary in under the new covenant because Jesus Christ became our Passover lamb. There's no need anymore to shed the blood of bulls and goats and animals. And when Jesus died, the Bible tells us that the veil that separated the inner sanctuary from the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom. Yet the Jewish people rewove that veil and started sacrificing again. And went about that way of sacrificing the blood of bulls and goats and sheep, even though Jesus has become our scapegoat. He has become our Passover lamb. He has shed his own blood for the redemption of our sins. And so Jesus actually fulfilled those passages. And so what actually happens is you have an ending of the old way of doing things. And Jesus is saying the end is not yet when you hear of wars and rumors of wars. But the end would come when that temple would be destroyed and not one stone would be left upon another. And the foundation of Jerusalem would actually be plowed in fulfillment of the prophecy of Micah. And going on, in verse 7, he says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places." And certainly, anytime you hear about wars, you hear about nations rising against nations, you hear about famines, you hear about pestilence, you hear about earthquakes, what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of people referring to what is happening in modern times and applying Matthew 28 to what we are going through and saying, see, this is a sign of the times. But again, Jesus is telling them what would happen in their time, in their generation. And certainly there are other times. We have a lot of wars and rumors of wars. Russia actually going into Ukraine. Hamas going against Israel. And now Israel declaring war against Hamas. And then you have the rumor that China may actually go into Taiwan and take over Taiwan. And so we have rumors of wars, and you have nation rising against nation. And we have seen famine and pestilence and earthquakes. And Jesus says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. For they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And this actually is something that did happen. The Christians were actually put to death. Many of them, not all of them obviously, many of them were put to death and were executed. You know, we read in the Bible about Stephen. And you see that Paul many times was actually arrested and tried. And ultimately, we understand that ultimately the Apostle Paul was executed by the Roman Empire. And you also see many of the other disciples many of the apostles even were actually executed for their faith in Jesus. And going on, you know, even after AD 70, there were a lot of Christians that were actually persecuted in that time by the Romans and by the Jews. So you see this happening, and Jesus says all these things are the beginning of sorrows, for they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And certainly you see the apostles talking about this in some of their epistles, warning people even, beware of this person, beware of false prophets. And Jesus here is telling them that this will happen. And he says in verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And we read about in Romans chapter 1, we actually read about the lawlessness that was happening in those days. But he who endures to the end will be saved, shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And there are people that say, well, that hasn't happened. The gospel hasn't gone out to all the nations. But you know, the Great Commission, Jesus told them to go to all the nations in Matthew chapter 28. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, go to all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey my commandments. And the Bible actually says in Romans 10, in Colossians chapter 1, but the Bible actually says that it happened, that the gospel did go out to all the nations of the earth, that all the people actually heard the gospel. And we don't know that happened today because we're ignorant of history, but the Bible actually tells us that it happened. And so we'll pick this up a little bit more next week. We'll delve into this. But I want to encourage you, read the Bible and don't read it through the lens of what you've been taught, but compare what you've been taught and what you believe to what the Bible actually says. And especially looking at the time text of this passage, particularly verse 34, that this generation shall not pass away until these things come to pass. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
For hypocrites, even one like me.